Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing and glory are His. This is the feast of victory.
Please join me for the prayer of the day. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, save us from the threatening dangers of our sins, and enlighten our walk in the way of your salvation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. The first reading is from Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The Lord, the word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, that the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So we'll now read the Psalm 122 responsively. I'll read the odd verses, and you read the even. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. For there the thrones of judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you.
Peace be within your walls and security within your towers.
For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, "Peace be within you."
For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good.
Thank you.
Okay, the second reading is from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is nearer. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to rise as you're able for the reading of the gospel and the singing of the Alleluia verse.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Gospel from St. Matthew, chapter 24, beginning with verse 36. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Invite any children to come forward for children's message. Good morning. Thanks for coming up. Are you looking forward to Christmas? So am I. What do you look forward to about Christmas? Anything? Getting presents? Yeah. I enjoy seeing the lights up around town. Lots of things to look forward to about Christmas.
And in this season, just before Christmas in the church, we call it something unique. Do you remember what we call this season in the church? Advent, the season when we look forward to the birth of Jesus, but we also look forward to Jesus' second coming, that time when he's going to come and make all things new again. When Jesus first came, how did he come? It's not a trick question. Came in the manger, right? Came as a baby. How do you think Jesus is going to come when he comes again the second time? Think he'll come back as a baby again? Maybe not. Think he'll come riding in on a donkey? He did that once before. Think he might come in on a sports car? How about a parachute? Truth is, we don't know how Jesus is going to come again and when he's going to come again, but we have the promise that he is going to come again. And we give thanks for that. The choir anthem this morning kind of reinforced that with the hymn, Will You Know Him? That we don't know exactly when he's going to come or exactly what he may look like, but we look forward to that day and we will know him when he comes. So we live waiting for Jesus to come, kind of expectantly. And the ways we can do that, at least two of the ways we can do that, is by loving Jesus and by loving each other. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Jesus, help us to be ready for Christmas and for when you come again. Amen. So the shape of a cookie that I thought of this morning is what I think of sometimes when I'm thinking of being prepared, and that's a candle. Because when the power goes out, it's nice to know where a flashlight is, where the power is, for a candle, something to be lit. So I think of being prepared and lighting a candle. So that's the shape that I chose for that this morning. I invite the congregation to join in singing the hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, number 254. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Are you ready? I remember being asked that question when I was about 14. I was in Estes Park, Colorado, for a youth retreat when the speaker asked, Are you ready? At that time, I was part of a non-denominational youth group that was pretty fundamental. As the speaker continued, I remember feeling a bit uncomfortable. My takeaway was that Jesus was going to come and judge those who would be taken with him to heaven and those who would be left behind, separated perhaps from family and friends who weren't ready. It was clear that you didn't want to be left behind, so you better get your act together. For me, at that point in time, it wasn't a comforting or hopeful message. I spent years trying to figure it out. It's not to say that I have it all figured out now. I still have lots of questions that I'm looking forward to asking Jesus. Today, the gospel is one that speaks to being ready, prepared for Jesus to return at any time. Or to put it another way,
to live in such a way that we have our act together, trusting in God's mercy. However, sometimes I think our gospel this morning has been used in less than helpful ways, beginning with verse 37. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day the Lord is coming. The point is that we're called to live ready, to be watchful. At that retreat, I was asked, are you ready? It seems that question is often asked by people who are certain that they are ready, and perhaps even more certain that you are not. Certain that they were saved, and that you will be, and that they will be taken. Thankfully, the Christ who judges us is also the Christ who endured judgment for our sake, and God's judgment never overrides God's grace. The storyline that gets the most attention today regarding Jesus' second coming has its roots in 2 Thessalonians and Revelation, and was popularized in contemporary writing like the Left Behind series. Essentially, it asserts that when Jesus returns, he will take the faithful with him, and the unfaithful will be left behind. Matthew's storyline, however, appears to be the reverse of this. As the great flood in Noah's day took away the faithful and left behind the faithful, Noah and his kin, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Two will be in the field. The unfaithful one will be taken away, and the faithful will remain. Two will be working in a mill. The unfaithful one will be taken away, and the faithful one will be left behind. One will be taken, and one won't. A friend might ask, what can I do to help you be ready? What do we need to do together to be ready? God doesn't seem to want us to be alone. I don't think God wants to be alone. It seems that God cannot not be in relationship with us, and is relentless when it comes to maintaining relationships. Think about how God called Abraham and then just kept on coming, intervening in his life whenever the relationship went astray. And then God finally comes up with a new plan in the birth of Emmanuel, God with us. When God revealed God's self in the birth of Jesus, people were caught off guard. Likewise, the people of Noah's day weren't prepared for the sudden and unexpected act of God. That's the reason for the artwork on your bulletin this morning. The flood came and swept them away. So too, Matthew says, Jesus' second coming will be unannounced. Expect to be surprised. Jesus' disciples are not to be like the homeowner, unaware, inattentive, who let their house get broken into by a thief. They're to live attentively, expectantly. One of the problems of passages like today is that sometimes they're used to frighten people. But the message of Christ's return isn't meant to frighten, but to give us hope. Think about it. We just celebrated Thanksgiving a few days ago, giving thanks for the goodness of life and how truly blessed we are. But as good as this life is, the even better news is that there's more to life than this life. There's a lot going on in our gospel. It's easy to lose sight that the central thrust of the passage is about promise. It's easy to miss that. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. A few verses before our gospel starts in verse 31, Jesus promises that when he comes, he will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Everything else that's said in today's gospel needs to be interpreted in the light of this promise, that God will gather God's people again. Something else that gets lost in today's gospel is the unexpectedness of the events Jesus talks about. No one knows exactly, he says in today's passage, neither angels nor even himself. No one knows when this will take place except for God. We aren't foreign to living with uncertainty. We wonder what the stock market will do. We wonder how the impeachment inquiry is going to go. We wonder if our children will be safe at school or college. We wonder how we'll live paycheck to paycheck. We wonder about refugees and immigrants fleeing oppression to various countries and how they'll be received. We wonder about those living alone or those who are sick. Much of life is uncertain, unpredictable. We're regularly caught off guard, sometimes joyfully, sometimes not. A miscarriage, a lost job, a heart attack, the death of a loved one, a knife-wielding terrorist on a London bridge. So many other tragedies and unanticipated setbacks can take our breath away. So we try to protect ourselves against such things. We have savings accounts. We have life and medical insurance. We try to protect ourselves by not taking unnecessary risks or by shielding ourselves from disappointments in life. Whatever it is that you fear most in our uncertain world, remember that we were created for more than fear, because Jesus has come and will come again to make all things new. When he comes, he has promised to be both with us and for us. We know that life is precious, unpredictable, but we don't face that future alone. And so our gospel encourages us not to just wait, but to keep awake and to watch and to be prepared. In the coming weeks, the Advent temptation of Advent is our frantic pace, the shopping, the decorating, card giving, community events, parties, all can sidetrack us from Christmas. We're already reminded that we have fewer shopping days this year than last year. The temptation is that we end up preparing for Christmas rather than for Christ. And if that happens, we miss both being prepared for Christ's first coming and second coming. Are you ready? Is this passage frightening? That should only be if we're unprepared. For the one who is prepared, Christ coming again will usher in a new age. Our text from Isaiah prophesies what that day might look like, will look like. God shall judge between the nations, shall arbitrate for many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Can you imagine that? Beat their swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. Is Isaiah kidding? Pastor Westgard writes, I quote, "We work hard to keep our children safe from harm. Drive carefully, dress warm. Take care of yourself now, you hear me? Then we send them off to war, band playing, flag waving, tears flowing, so proud. Finally, they come home, some with scars, some in boxes. Flag still waving, band still playing, tears still flowing. We've learned well how to do war." Dwight D. Eisenhower, the 34th president and five-star general, stated, "I hate war as only a soldier who has lived it can, only as one who has seen its brutality, its futility, its stupidity." Pastor Westgard continues, "Perhaps Isaiah is more than a prophet, but also a preacher. And here the preacher is telling us that God is weary of war. I am too. I'm guessing so are you." Unquote. Christ alone can make all things new. So we pray, come, Lord Jesus, deliver our world from death, disease, war, violence, and famine, from ancient hatreds of racism, or sexism, terrorism, every ism that wounds your people. The good news is that Christ has promised to return and gather the elect from every corner of heaven. Whether it comes at the end of the great tribulation or like a thief in the night, people of faith are assured that this promise is good news. It's the one who loves us more than life itself who promises to return. It's the one who has broken the bonds of death who promises to return. It's the one who has already won the victory over death who promises to return. This week, I was reminded of when my son Joshua was very young. He hadn't started school yet. His grandmother had driven to Idaho from Montana to see him and our family. My son loved his grandmother. One time when she was about to leave, Carol, to her alarm, noticed our son around the backside of Grandma's car. He had taken a tire cap off of one of the tires. and started letting the air out of the tire. He loved it when she came to visit, unexpected or planned, and didn't want her to leave. It wasn't so much when she came, but about the fact that she came. My son was ready for Grandma whenever she came, because he loved her. That's the point of today's gospel, too. Will you join me in prayer? Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask you to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in your tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with you there. Amen. I invite you to rise as you're able for our sermon hymn number 244.
Your lights appear.